Today. It's brilliant to see you, and on behalf of everybody here at the church, we'd like to extend a really warm welcome to you, and we're really glad that you're here this morning. If you've not met me before, my name is Matt, and I'm the curate here at St. Mary's, but amazingly, I'm not going to be doing much leading today, because two of our young people, Lois and Scarlett, are going to be leading the service, and then later on, Chris Hill, our rector, is going to be preaching to us and carrying on our service called Outside Broadcast, which is taking us through the season of Lent. And today we're imagining ourselves onto the Sea of Galilee, and we're in the boat with Jesus and Simon Peter, and we're seeing what that has to say to our lives today. So in just a moment, I'll hand over to Lois and Scarlett, and then later on in the service, Chris will be preaching to us. But before we do that, just a notice to say that hopefully all of you will have received a pink news sheet that looks like this as you came into the church. And inside that, you'll find all the information about everything that's happening in this week and the week ahead. And inside, tucked inside your pink sheet as well, you'll see a white piece of paper that looks like this, which has been produced by Bishop Dagmar, our suffragan bishop, with some information just to guide us on how we should continue to operate during the outbreak of the coronavirus. So please do take home that white sheet of paper and read it through. However, before we just begin our service this morning, I want to quickly assure you that as a leadership team and also as a standing committee, we are fully committed to ensuring that our Sunday services and everything that happens in the week is able to continue to run as long as that is safe and as long as that is possible and doesn't break any guidance that we're given. As Bishop Dagmar writes, we will not let our lives be dominated by fear or panic, but by care and love for one another. So we want our lives to be full of care and love for another, even in these difficult times. Obviously, things might change at short notice, but we will keep you up to date in as many ways as possible. The best way to stay up to date is by checking the church website and also following us on Facebook. But we'll also post information on the notice board at the gate as you come into church. And if you're housebound or you don't have internet access, then please do call the church office. During office hours, they'll obviously answer the phone and they'll give you information that you need. But if there's information that you need to know and it's outside of office hours, then they'll leave a message on the voicemail. So you'll be able to hear any information without having to actually speak to anybody. So hopefully that will keep you up to date on how everything is running and what's happening at different times. And additionally, we will be making a few small changes to our church services. So as you would have seen this morning, we're encouraging you to sanitize your hands as you come into church. And it would be helpful if you have some of your own hand sanitizer to also bring that with you, just because it's in short supply. And we'd like to make sure that everybody is able to do that. So if you have a plentiful supply and you're willing to come and use your own hand sanitizer, that would also be very helpful. We'd also encourage you to wash your hands before you come to church and then to wash your hands again when you return home from church. Whilst we're in church as well, we'll try to not make any bodily contact with each other. So that includes when we share the peace, but also when we greet each other and we say goodbye to each other. And we don't have communion this morning, but when we do receive communion in future weeks, we'll be following the guidelines and we'll only be receiving the bread, because this still gives us the full benefit of the sacrament, but it means that actually it helps us to keep safe. And we'll also explain this next week, but from next week onwards, we'll be trying to only receive communion while standing, but I'll explain that when we get to that next week. At the end of the service, we would ask that you take home all the sheets of paper that you picked up as you came in. So that includes your notice sheet and this white piece of paper. It will make sure that you're up to date with information, but anything that's left behind, we will need to destroy. So it would be great if you could take it home and look after it yourself. And finally, we will still be serving tea and coffee after the service. Please do go through the brown door on your right, take a cup of tea and coffee directly from the person serving you. And temporarily, we've had to suspend serving biscuits, which is very disappointing for people like me, and I'm sure for some of our younger congregation members. But we are working really hard to find a solution where we can get hold of some biscuits that are pre-wrapped, which we'll be able to get back in service by next week. So sit tight, and Matt is on the biscuit challenge. Don't worry about that. Don't go on a diet. No, that's terrible. Obviously, during this period, we would encourage you to look after yourselves. And if you do have a cough or you do have a high temperature, then please stay at home. Even if you've been put on a rota to do something, please don't be British and soldier on. Please do stay at home. And if you can let us know, that would be helpful. But even if you can't let somebody know, we would rather you stay at home and let somebody down than come along and make this an unsafe place to be. So even though that's hard, please do stay at home. And just to say, from this week onwards, we'll be recording the whole service. So the whole whole of the 9 o'clock service and the whole of the 10:30 service, and we'll be posting it online probably on Monday morning. So if you've missed a service, you can catch up online and you can feel like you're joining in the service. And if you're not able to listen online, then do let us know in the office and we'll make sure that we deliver a CD to you as well. You might notice as well that you are given a pink bulletin, and that's really helpful for keeping up to date. But you can also receive this by email. You can sign up on the church website, or if you email or call the office, they'll also be able to add you to the list. So this is emailed out weekly and you're able to keep up to date with what's going on. And last of all, please do keep up to date with what's happening with your neighbours. If you belong to a home group or another small group here at church, then do be proactive in texting and phoning people to check they're okay and to find out if there's anything that they need. That would really help us all to make sure that we're looking after each other. If you have neighbours around you that also need help, we'd encourage you as well to make contact with them, especially those who are vulnerable, and to not just think about yourself and your own needs at this time, but to look outwards and to share Christ as good news with our community. And if everybody you know is okay, then maybe you'd consider helping the wider community. So, for example, the Ely Food Bank is in desperate need of certain supplies at this moment. So you can find out more on their website or their Facebook page and donate to help those who are in need at this time, particularly as there are some shortages of non-perishable goods in the supermarkets. And, of course, if you are concerned about yourself or anybody else in your home group or somebody that you normally sit by in church, then please do speak to myself or to Chris or to Ruth or to Kirsty or to the church wardens, to Chris or Derek, and we will make sure that that concern is followed up. We promise that somebody on the prayer ministry team or one of the ministers ourselves will be in touch and will follow up any concerns that you have. Obviously, this is a lot of information to take on board, and you might be sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, it's like a pre-flight announcement. What on earth is Matt doing? But I want to reassure you that we do really care about you. We love you very much, and we are praying for all of you and for our community during this time. So as we go forward, we want to go forward with hope. We want to go forward in the knowledge that Jesus Christ himself is with us. He is with us in every moment of our life. So please do not be panicked. Please do not be anxious about anything. Please be full of peace today. And please know that you are loved and you are cared for. And if you have any concerns at all, or you want to talk for anything, then please come and speak to myself or another member of the leadership team at the end of the service, and we'll do our best to answer all of your questions. But before we begin our service this morning, before we hand over to Lois and Scarlett, I just want to pray a prayer, and it's the prayer that's on the bottom of the white insert on your sheet, the prayer that Bishop Dagmar has put together for us in this time. So you might want to follow it as I just pray these words now. Gracious God, you call us to fullness of life. Deliver us from fear and banish our anxieties with the liberating love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. So, without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Lois and Scarlett, and I'm going to take a break.
Immediately makes noise. Doing well already. Hello. My name's Lois, I'm 14, and this is my glamorous assistant, Scarlett.
I mean, I'd much prefer the term partner, but yeah, I'm Scarlett, I'm 13, turning 14. Blue, and we'd love for you to join in with the words in black. The Lord is here.
His spirit is with us.
Faithful one whose word is life, with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We'll now remain standing for our time of sung worship, which will be led by Rhiannon and Victoria and the band.
King of kings, majesty, God of heaven. gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. Oh, with living thoughts at your throne.
I can't but
God, who moved over the sea at creation, our Lord who saved Noah and his family, our Lord who led people to freedom through the sea, who called fishermen by the lakeside, who stilled the storm, walked across the water to meet them. We pray that you would walk with us in the midst of our stormy lives. Remind us of your saving power and be with us as we come to worship you. Amen.
It's now time for the children to go to their groups. If you're not sure where to go, Lois can direct you. For children aged under 3, we have the creche at the back with songs, story, and free play. Parents are welcome to stay with their children or leave them until we join together at the end of the service. Children aged between 3 and school year 6 are invited to join us for jam through the brown door on your right. Everybody gathers in the hall before splitting into smaller groups. And you might have noticed that many of our young people from Pathfinders are serving in this service.
At least I hope you've noticed.
In a number of different ways as this is Service Sunday. To allow everybody to take on these roles, the young people will therefore be remaining in the service this morning. But before the children go to the groups, we're going to pray for them. We pray for the children as they head to their groups, that they can be blessed with God's presence tonight.
Now I'm going to invite some of our fellow Pathfinders to come and bring us our Bible readings.
First reading is taken from Psalm 66, verses 1 to 12. It can be found on the Pew Bibles on page 556. That's Psalm 66 on page 556. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out to a place of abundance. The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 5. Which is on page 974. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Just before I preach, a couple of things that we need to do. I need to publish the banns of marriage between Edward John Kirchmer and Jessica Kathleen Barker, both of this parish, and between James Alan Buckley and Anna Heather Blakey. James is of St. Mary's Ely, and Anna is of Holy Trinity Marham. This is for the second time of asking. If anybody knows any reasons why these couples may not marry each other, you are to declare it. Shall we pray for them? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Edward and for Jessica and for James and Anna. We pray for their forthcoming weddings, that they will be wonderful days. But most of all, Father, we pray for their marriages, that they would be fruitful and would flourish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And just also to say that we've heard in the last few weeks that Natalie is moving on. Natalie will be taking on the role of National Sports Project Officer for the Church of England, and will be looking after and encouraging those people who are taking the good news of Jesus out into their friends and into their sports clubs and their fellow runners and their fellow footballers and so on. And so that will be her role across the Church of England, and in particular concentrating on seven dioceses from June. She'll be leaving sometime in May, and we'll be saying a proper goodbye to her as St. Mary's at that point. But just thought you ought to know that. So do pray for Natalie. So, our reading, we were in a boat. In fact, the reading is a story about a man in a boat on a lake. And it's about something that happened to that man in that boat on that lake. And he was not the same man when he left that boat as he was when he got in it. And his name was Simon Peter. And we heard a little bit about him last week when he went onto the mountain with Jesus, when Jesus was transfigured. But this morning, the story is about what happens when any of us come face to face with God. And it can be hard, and it's probably painful, but God knows how much we need to do it. And the lake is Lake Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee. And I'm hoping that we got some pictures coming up. So there's the Sea of Galilee. And you can imagine why Jesus and his disciples would have loved to come here. It's a place of great beauty. It's a heart-shaped freshwater lake, quite a big one, set among the hills in northern Israel. The air is semi-tropical, warm and moist, and there's a slight breeze coming in this morning as we are in the story. And the boat, well, it's quite an ordinary fishing boat, probably about the length of three quarters of this church, with a single mast, maybe a second mast potentially there. And in 1986, there was a big drought in Israel, and a couple of fishermen found the hull of this boat, which was protruding from a land that would normally have been covered by the lake. And they took it away and carbon dated it, and they found it that it was dating from just about when Jesus was alive. So there is a decent chance that Jesus would have actually seen this actual boat. And there's a small possibility that he might have actually been in this boat himself with Peter. The curators say that this boat is a work of a master craftsman, a great boat builder, but it's made from inferior materials, what was readily available at the time. A bit like the disciples, a bit like the church, a bit like you and me. And at various times it got damaged and was patched up and held together in the hands of a master craftsman, a bit like you and a bit like me. And so that brings us to this story that happened right here on this lake. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Jesus is teaching. He's probably in the Bay of Parables, which looks a little bit like this. So that's probably from a drone or something. It's a natural amphitheater, and it has amazing acoustic qualities. Probably about 7,000 people could hear one person speak. It's been tested in this particular bay. So Jesus' followers are starting to crowd in, and he has to get into a boat. And Simon rows him out a few feet into the water, and Jesus sits down. Even today, when rabbis sit down, you know that they're about to teach something serious. So they all sit down. Of course, you might imagine that the preacher sitting down might be a good way of ensuring that sermons can go on for a very long time, but just as God intended them to, of course. But I think this is actually an indication of the seriousness of how Jesus was taking this moment. Maybe Jesus was declaring, "You are the light of the world." And Peter is thinking, "I would love that to be true." Maybe Jesus is saying, "If you're angry with your brother, it's as bad as murder." And one day Peter is going to be so angry that he cuts off someone's ear. Maybe Jesus is speaking to Peter's temper. Maybe Jesus is saying, "Don't worry about your life. Think about the birds of the air." And Peter, who will one day panic in a storm on this very lake, thinks how hard it is for him just to trust God. Maybe for Peter, when he hears Jesus talk, there is a hope for what might be, but it's mixed with guilt and regret for how far he has fallen short. Anyway, Jesus finishes his teaching, and Peter starts rowing back into the shore. You can imagine it, can't you? Peter says, "Oh, good talk, Jesus. Well done. I liked your third point." But Jesus has other plans for Peter, and he says, "Simon, Peter, put out in the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." This would be a slightly frustrating moment for Peter. He's the professional. He knows fishing. Jesus is a rabbi who used to be a carpenter. What does he know? Peter could have said to Jesus, "We've been working all night. And anyway, fish don't bite during the day. My crew are finished." But here's what Peter actually said, roughly. "Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything. So this doesn't make sense to me. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because you say so, we will do it." He trusts Jesus. What if we were to trust Jesus like that? When God asks us to do something, and we don't understand, but we say, "Because you say so, Lord, I will do it." Maybe it's God asking us to be generous with our money. "I'd rather keep it all, but because you say so, Lord, I will do it." Or maybe when God calls someone, us to forgive someone when they don't deserve it. "I don't get it, Lord, but because you say so, I will do it." To become "but because you say so" people is something to aspire to as individuals and together as a church. Peter doesn't see what Jesus sees yet, but he's willing to do what Jesus says, and that's enough for Jesus. That's enough to be a disciple. And because Peter said that, his story develops. When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Now, you'd think Peter would be thrilled. His whole month's fish allowance has been caught in one night. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." It's a very dramatic moment. Remember, the floor of the boat is covered with fish. It's smelly and messy. And yet Peter is so overwhelmed, he just falls in the boat there and then at Jesus' feet. Peter sees who Jesus is at that moment, and at the same time has a profound awareness of his own brokenness. We see this elsewhere in the Bible, don't we? Isaiah has a vision of the Lord, and his very next thought is, "Well, I'm a man of unclean lips, and now I see the living God. I'm in trouble." And he falls on the floor face down. We all act in destructive ways that cause pain and hurt, intentionally and unintentionally. And when we find ourselves in the presence of God, we see the consequences as if we're in a spotlight, and we can't bear it, just like Peter. Sin isn't just a Weight Watchers term. It's way deeper than that. It's waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning in a cold sweat, knowing that we can't forgive ourselves. Sin ruins everything. Without it, there would be no war. There'd be no racism, no sex trafficking, no domestic abuse, no bullied children, no lies, no deceit. If you're looking at yourself and saying, "Why am I never satisfied? Why am I never at peace? How did I become this angry person? Why is my relationship miserable? How did this happen?" If you've grown cynical over the years, or maybe jealous, or become involved in an all-consuming quest for more money to bring security, or maybe addicted to some rush or other, what do we do with this? Well, St. Paul says that Jesus' desire is to free us from this power of sin, until we're stainless, without blemish. But it's painful, having to look at ourselves closely through God's eyes. But the reward is freedom in Christ. We can confess our wrongdoings. We can ask God to help us examine ourselves. Alcoholics Anonymous call it taking a fearless and searching moral inventory. And then we can confess what we've been and turn 180 degrees to face Jesus and allow God to forgive us and to heal us. So, back in the boat, this is Peter's first confession, but it's not his last. He will later tempt Jesus with Satan's words. He will be unable to trust Jesus on the water. He will slice off a Roman centurion's ear. And just when Jesus needs Peter the most, he will deny him 3 times. So for each of us, you and me, we should expect that confession of our transgressions, seeking forgiveness and healing, will be a regular occurrence for the rest of our lives. When we encounter God, when we seek him out, or he seeks us out, our situation before him becomes painfully clear. Our denial is shattered, and our collusion evaporates. Peter's response, "Get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He actually seems to want Jesus to go away, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus doesn't say, "Peter, I had no idea you were such a sinful guy. I need to disembark at once." No, Jesus looked at Simon, probably with a loving smile, and said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch people." Peter is expecting to get the book thrown at him. He expects condemnation, but he gets grace. Imagine his joy. Peter's confession is quite simple. "Get away from me," because he's under the spotlight. His discomfort is intense. He's thinking, "I can't stand the piercing of your eyes, Jesus. I'm unworthy to be sharing this boat with you." That's how guilt works. We want to hide from God. At the very moment when we need intimacy with Jesus most, we go into Jesus avoidance mode, don't we? But please don't do that. You may not be ready. You may not feel clean enough, but you can approach Jesus. He knows, after all. And just admit that you're a mess. We're all a mess. What if Jesus had granted Peter's wish? okay, I'll go. But the wonderful thing about prayer, even when what we pray is gibberish, Jesus always sees beyond the words to the heart. Jesus sees beyond what we ask for to what we really need. And then he gives this gift. Jesus said to Peter, "Don't be afraid. Peter, your confession doesn't disqualify you. It's just what I've been waiting for, to be able to work with you." He's telling Peter, there's a place where you can be free from all the guilt and shame in your life, all the regret in your life. And it's less than 100 miles away from here. It's at Calvary, overlooking Old Jerusalem. And yes, a price has to be paid. But for you and I in this room this morning, we can thank God that it already has been paid by a man named Jesus on a pain-filled, wood-splintered, blood-stained cross. This matchless man, this perfect man, went to that cross. He chose it freely, and he hung there. He surrendered his life. And in some deep and mysterious way that you and I will never fully understand, he was paying the price for the forgiveness of my sins and yours, so that we could be free. We're all in the same situation. We're all part of the universal league of the guilty. We're all in the same boat, but it can be the Jesus boat. Today may be your day to say, "Because you said it, Lord, I will do it." Today may be your day to confess to Jesus, as best you can and with God's help, what it is that you have done, and to ask him through what he did on the cross to take away all that guilt, all that history. Today may be your day to commit to the journey of being healed. "I don't understand all this, God, but because you said it, I will do it." That's the story about a man named Peter on a lake, on a boat. And that could be your story. And he could be your forgiver. And he could be your savior. This could be your life. Shall we pray? Maybe we need to put ourselves in Simon Peter's place and realize our status before God. To stand before Jesus and realize that actually we can't stand anymore. We have to kneel. We have to reflect on the ways that we're not worthy. Those things that we need to bring to God, to the foot of that cross. Father, we ask your forgiveness for those things that separate us from you and from each other. Those things that cause us to wake in the middle of the night in a sweat. Those things that we can't forgive ourselves for. We're sorry. And we thank you, Father, that you don't walk away from us, but that you walk towards us as we confess. We thank you for that. We thank you that we can see your eyes and we can see your love in your eyes for us. And we thank you that we can see your smile, your forgiving, loving smile. So, Father, we do pray that you would help us to turn 180 degrees from those things that have held us back and to walk towards you and with you for our futures. Every day this week, Father, we pray that we would walk with you, that we'd allow you to clean us, to love us, and to stay in the boat with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You call me out.
kneel now as we come to our time of confession, where we have the chance to call to mind those times when we haven't followed Jesus' call in our lives. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith." Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew the right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Bring us back to himself. Forgive us our sins and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let's stand together now as we affirm our faith. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our King, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We sit or kneel now as Peter leads us in our prayers of intercession.
Let's pray. Father God, we lift to you all those who feel anxious and nervous today about the coronavirus outbreak. We lift to you especially those who are working to look after those who are sick, caring for those who are isolated, and seeking to provide leadership and create policies that will help us as a nation and as a wider continent and world to look after each other. We think especially of those that we know here in St. Mary's who we feel are vulnerable, and we pray for ourselves as well, that you would keep us well during this time. Lord, we pray that as we go forward into what seems uncertain times, you would fill us with your perfect peace this morning that casts out all fear. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, we trust that we do not need to be anxious about anything in your presence, but we bring before you all of our thoughts and our concerns in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And we trust that your peace, which surpasses all understanding, would guard our hearts and our minds this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, forgive us for those times when we doubt that you really are calling us into your plans for our lives. Thank you for the example of Simon Peter, who so often seemed to get things wrong, but ultimately had a heart that wanted to follow you and to do what you called him to do. And we pray today that as we seek to follow you in our lives, we would hold up Peter as our example. Help us, Lord, to be willing to listen to your voice, even when you're calling us to do things which scare us or we think aren't possible. Help us, Lord, to have faith, to follow you, to have the faith to walk upon the water, as we've just sung, and to keep our eyes fixed on you. And we lift to you those desires of our hearts and our minds, the ways that we feel that you are speaking to us this morning. And we ask that you would help us to trust you, to be confident and to be courageous, knowing that you are with us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for our children and our young people here at St. Mary's. Thank you for the Pathfinders and for the way that they are serving us in many ways seen and unseen during this service. Please bless these young people as they step forward into their futures, as they make big decisions about the future as well. And Lord, encourage their gifts, we pray. Grow within them seeds of faith that transform their generation and transform all those that will follow in their generation. And help us as well as older generations to be willing to learn, to have hearts that are teachable and moldable as well. We thank you for our children as well this morning. Pray that as they meet this morning, they would encounter you, Jesus, and you'd be at work changing lives. Thank you so much for everybody who comes through the doors of this church each week. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be at work in our community. Pray that our church would be much bigger than this building. But Jesus, you would be at work all around the city of Ely and the surrounding villages. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father God, we do pray this morning for the Church of England in this country. Thank you for our bishops, for Bishop Stephen and Bishop Dagmar, and we pray for them as they lead us forward in our diocese. Pray especially for Bishop Dagmar as she looks after us during this time and as she seeks to provide guidance and wisdom for us as leaders in our communities. We thank you for our ministry team here at St. Mary's. Thank you for everybody who contributes in many different ways. And we pray that you would use their gifts and their talents to point people to you, to make you bigger, Jesus, and to make ourselves smaller. And this morning we pray especially for those who we know who are about to enter a season of change or are facing difficulties in their own lives. We pray for anybody we know who's sick or unwell or in hospital. And we do lift our sister Natalie to you as she steps into this new post in a few months' time. Pray that you would go ahead of her and prepare the way. And we pray that you would use her gifts and her talents to lead people forward and to make a huge impact in this area of sports ministry. We pray that many people would come to know you, Lord Jesus, through her work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so, merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And just to say, at the end of this service, a small group of people will be gathering in the Lady Chapel to pray specifically about the coronavirus outbreak. So if you'd like to join them, you're very welcome to join the prayer team then.
And we gather all our thoughts and prayers together this morning in the words of the Lord's Prayer. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours.
And finally, a prayer giving thanks for the different gifts offered by our congregations. We give thanks for the gifts offered by the congregations for God's work in St. Mary's and Christ Church and for our mission partners.
Generous God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, we offer our gifts to you with joy, symbol of the work you have given us to do. Use them, use us, in the service of your world, to the glory of
If you're able, please stand as we sing together our final song.
As our service draws to a close, we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light on our paths, strength to our lives. Take us and use us to love and serve all people. In the power of your Holy Spirit, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
In a moment, we will pray a final prayer, asking God to bless us as we go into the rest of today and the week ahead. However, before we do, please do join us for tea and coffee in the after the service in the church rooms. Head through the brown door on your right.
And if you would like to pray with someone this morning about something that you feel God has spoken to you about during the service, or anything else at all, please do come to the prayer chapel on my right. Our prayer team would be delighted to pray for you. But finally, a prayer asking for God's blessing. Say it with me now. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be upon us, remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.